Welcome to What's Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Matt Story. On this pod, I sit down with people of color leaders to understand how they've been able to use their superpowers to make an impact on our world. And I do it one story at a time. My guest on the pod this week is a certified executive coach. She's an author and also the founder of Adaptive Leadership Strategies, LLC. So with that, I'd like to welcome Brenda Harrington to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. Before we get into learning more about your story and hearing about all the great work you do with global leaders to really help them have a greater impact, can you help us understand your background and maybe share a story about what little Brenda was like?
Wow, little Brenda. I would use two words to describe little Brenda. One is serious and the other is curious. Serious because I am the youngest of only two children by a little bit more than 10 years. Wow. And so I was always surrounded by people many years my senior, a lot of adults. There weren't a lot of kids around. And so I was very serious as a child. I didn't know it then, but when I reflect on my early years, certainly, I was probably more serious than I ever have been as an adult. Curious, because I was always asking why. I always wanted to know, why things were, how things worked, and all those kinds of things to kind of see beyond.
Gotcha. Well, yeah. So I actually have two daughters and there is an 11-year gap. And so I'm curious to see if that will also happen for our younger one, because it is true being around older, whether it's siblings or parents or others, it can definitely impact how you see the world. So being serious and being curious, did you have an idea of what you wanted to be when you grew up?
No clue. Okay. I did not have any idea. There were certain things that I gravitated toward as a young person. For example, I liked music. I was interested in playing the piano and did take piano lessons for a period of time. I played the flute. And I was somebody who, sister 10 years older, I wanted to do everything my big sister did. And I tripped into sewing and designing clothes. And so for a big portion of my young years, I was very involved with sewing and creating and designing and things like that all the way through undergraduate school. And if you speak to someone who knew me back then, if we haven't kept in touch, they might assume that I'm somewhere in the fashion industry doing something.
Oh, wow.
So I knew that I wanted to, have the freedom to create, but I wasn't able to place it anywhere.
Gotcha. So did something happen when you got to school that changed that perspective or maybe opened you up to another avenue?
It didn't happen when I went to school, because all through school I was doing fashion shows, and even after school, all of that. I took some classes at Fashion Institute to kind of pull that together after I graduated from college. And then Mobil Oil offered me a job and I closed up the sewing machine and picked up the briefcase. And, because we're talking about 1979, 1980, right? And so things were very different. And it was just difficult to put the pieces together. I think that fast forward, a few years with the internet and access to so many resources, things might have been different. But, it is what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, growing up, did your community give you an understanding of, hey, this is a great opportunity, I've got to take advantage of it right now? Or did they set a path for you to see kind of, this is what I could be? So you knew that was an opportunity when it was presented.
I can't say that there was that much clarity.
Okay.
I grew up in a very loving household, but very, I'll say, limited. We didn't do a lot of things. We weren't exposed to a lot of things. My parents, with all due respect, were really bought in hook, line, and sinker, 1960s, right, to a better days ahead. And so they worked very hard, and they really were focused in a very meaningful way on instilling in both my sister and me that we could be anything, do anything, but we weren't exposed to a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what we saw was hard work and struggle. But they made it clear that, whatever we want, the world was our oyster, whatever we wanted to be, whatever we wanted to do, would be possible.
Yeah, that's great. I often like to think about it as, previous generations, they kind of give you the tools to walk into rooms that they never walked into. And that's really the gift that they give us. And we're hopefully taking that forward and giving it to others.
Yeah, Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's interesting when I think about, you know, the seeds that they were able to plant. Neither of my parents were college educated. My mother was a stickler for good grammar and proper English, standard English. And so she was always correcting us and all these things. And, you know, my father was just, you know, I was about to say well-read, but I don't know that I ever really saw him sit down and read a book. But he was a very smart man. He was a very bright man. And I think of conversations that we had. He loved later years. He loved Jeopardy, right? And he would criticize. He was very judgmental, you know, when people got answers wrong. And I'm sitting there thinking, I wouldn't have gotten that right either. So, you know, how did you know that? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to jump into your professional journey. And sure. you turned a successful 30-year career in the private industry into becoming a certified executive coach. What led you to make that shift at that point in your career?
Yeah. So over that 30 plus year period, I was actually in and out of private industry. I'd had some entrepreneurial pursuits, you know, through the 90s, and then I went back in-house. And it's interesting because, you know, you should always listen to the little voice in your head. And I would say that that last in-house journey, kind of, I was breaking my own rules because although I didn't know what I wanted to be growing up, I knew the things that I wanted for myself. I had a sense that that freedom was important to me. It was important for me to be able to have some modicum of control and be able to make my own decisions. And so 2007, 2008, during the financial crisis, right, I was with an organization in a senior executive position that was going through an acquisition, and people were absolutely on the ledge, you know, in terms of, you know, the uncertainty and the change. And that's when I really not only, I won't say discovered coaching, but it's when I was able to define it and really understand what it was and what it meant. And it's something that it was something that was a support and a resource for me at that time.
Yeah.
And as I was thinking about my exit and next chapter, I felt like it was something that I really wanted to engage in at a deeper level.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the idea of coaching is one that's often heard of, but not necessarily talked a lot about and understand the value of. I can say personally, my career trajectory changed when I actually took the time and resources to invest in having a coach. And it's actually probably the reason I have this podcast is because I had those conversations to really uncover where my interests were, where my purpose was, and truly what I got value out of and what value I could provide. So that definitely hits home.
It really is so important. And, you know, unfortunately, coaching is a bit of an anomaly to people. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand what it is and more importantly, what it's not. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they immediately jump to therapy and counseling and training, which is a word I don't ever use. But I think that we can all benefit from coaching, and we all need to take responsibility for working on ourselves. And sometimes that's hard work, you know, uncomfortable work, but it takes us to great places. It can.
Yeah. So on that topic, what would you say to someone that's considering working with a coach, or maybe what are some of the things happening in their career that could be an indicator that they may want to pursue finding a coach?
Yeah. So happening in their career or not happening, if they are about to step into a larger space, one, you know, obvious transition might be someone who's a project manager or who leads initiatives but does not lead people, and they're moving into more of a people management role. The human dynamics, relationships, and all of those things are just profoundly important. Okay, in any profession, but certainly if you're going to start leading people and leading teams, if they are in transition to a new discipline or you know a new profession or something like that, but just really wanting to grow, you know, it's not negative. It's not that anything's wrong.
Yeah.
But just as an athlete, you know, goes through physical preparation to prepare to compete, we have to do the same things, you know, in business and professionally if we want to get better and grow.
Yeah. It's funny. Someone once told me, you know, what got you here isn't going to get you to the next level. And I think we sometimes, again, going back to the story you started with of, if I work hard, put my head down, it'll happen. And it's very obvious once you've gone through a few of those levels or you've had that experience. But I think a lot of times people feel like, I'm doing good work, why am I not being recognized? So is that you're nodding. So is that something you see often when you work with your clients?
I see it all the time. And it's so interesting. Just a week or so ago, I spoke at a conference about this very topic. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I said is that, you know, we do good work and we get all of the certifications and credentials and education that we need, and we wait for something to happen and then it doesn't. Right. And we have really got to be willing to be stewards of our own circumstances. I asked everyone in the room, I said, how many of you have participated in strategic planning sessions and retreats for your employer? And pretty much everyone, 100 people raised their hand. I said, how many of you have done that for yourselves? And one or two hands went up. So we've got to be willing to look within and do that work.
Yeah, 100% agree. So, you know, one of my hypotheses of the podcast is that our unique lived experience, what makes us special, can become a superpower. So I'm curious for you, how have your unique lived experiences helped you provide guidance to your clients?
So this is really interesting. One of the most important tenets of coaching, and as a professional coach, a certified coach, is that as coaches, we try to stay out of the story. Mm. We all have stories and we all recognize, you know, some of the things that show up with our clients. Mm-hmm. And so I try to be very careful to stay in the client's story because that's why we're there. Okay. Mm-hmm. But when we're officially outside of a session, I ask permission to share something if I think it might be of interest or, you know, something else for them to process or consider as a resource.
Yeah, that I never thought of it that way. But yeah, you definitely don't want to bring a lot of your own personal into that experience when they're trying to work through their own individual, you know, planning or strategy.
So exactly.
I mentioned earlier, you're an author. Can you share a little bit about what the inspiration behind your book, Access Denied, what led you to want to write that?
So that's really interesting. I never thought about writing a book. I never had the desire to be an author. The events of the spring of 2020 for me were like a call to action. Hmm. Because not that there was anything new. Okay. I certainly was not surprised by the things that we all experienced and that some of us were horrified by and saddened and any other adjective you can come up with. But what showed up for me was the profound pervasiveness still of some things that we'd like to believe, you know, had waned or were no longer as impactful. And as I started to listen to the conversations, as people started to approach me with questions and, you know, just talking about this with people, not just in the United States, but globally, okay, my clients from other parts of the world, what's going on? How did this, you know, this is the United States. I felt like I needed to get into the conversation for a couple of reasons. The first reason, you know, and I addressed this in the introduction of the book, you know, who is the book for? I feel that many young professionals are ill-equipped to deal with and address some of the challenges they face in a meaningful way. So I wanted to provide a tool. And the second thing is I wanted to create awareness for people who apparently, you know, don't see mm-hmm. a lot of the things that are still happening.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What feedback have you gotten? Have there been any stories, you know, people that have reached out to you or shared how the book really helped them or moved them along in their career?
People I have never laid eyes on have sent me the most heart-wrenching, in some cases, emotional emails and messages on LinkedIn and responses. You know, this was timely for me. Thank you so much. I've been struggling. I see myself in some of these stories. It really helped me to work through some things. I've shared it with 10 other colleagues. You know, I've had my department read it. No, the response has really been very powerful, very powerful. And one thing I did not expect is that you know, some organizations have embraced the book and they have had their management and leadership teams read the book, and we've done author talks around it and things like that. Yeah.
That's great. So writing a book, you know, is one of those things that sounds like, oh, I'll never do that. And a lot of people, you know, the famous saying that everyone has a book in them. But I'm curious for you, what did you learn about even yourself or learn about the process as you were writing it?
Well, the book is a compilation of stories, a couple of my own stories, and then a series of stories that others have shared and entrusted, you know, to me, which I'm very grateful for. When I think about my own stories, I realized that there were some things that I had tucked away and I thought I was done with. And what I learned in bringing those things back to the forefront is that maybe I wasn't done, but in some cases, they certainly weren't done with me. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there was more there for me to process and to work with, which really has been a good source of energy for additional work related to the book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when I looked at some of the other stories, it was more, I think, affirmation that it was the right thing to do. You know, I use the term entrusted because there were some tender tales told in the book, and you know, it's not fiction. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're all very real. And so it really just brought a lot of things to the surface that I feel like we need to address head on in a meaningful way in order to move forward.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And just kudos to you, because I think a lot of us, you know, we all went through that shared experience in 2020 and it hit us all hard. But I don't know that everyone was able to turn it into something that hopefully is making a positive impact and bringing the world closer together and hopefully driving for more equity and inclusion. So speaking of your story, I want to switch to the brand of Brenda for a bit. And like I said, I believe we all have these superpowers. So I'm curious, what would you say is your superpower?
The best way I can describe it is personal resolve. Mm-hmm. I know where my line in the sand is, okay? And I know what my values are. Integrity is a very important thing to me. And I am grateful to be able to live in my truth, I'll say, and also maintain a commitment to those things. And for me, that's everything. You know, people, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, you know, people approach you and say, hey, we want you to do X, Y, and Z, and we think it'll be good for you, and this number of people will be there, and that one will be there, and you know, all business is not good business, and all people that want to be clients are not clients for you, for me. And so I think that just knowing who I am and what I want and who I want to be with and who I can make progress with professionally and personally is very powerful. And I have these conversations sometimes with clients. And again, trying to keep my own story out of it, right? But it's interesting to me the compromises that people will make. I won't say that they're willing to make, but that they will make, right? Because they feel like they have to, that they don't have a choice. And I would argue that there's always a choice. It might be scary, but there's always a choice.
Yeah. And what's interesting about what you said is that you had to do work on yourself to figure out what are those values, where's that line in the sand. And I think sometimes we don't do that work. And so that compromise or that willingness to do things that may not be in our best interest, we don't even realize it because we haven't done that work. Is there anything you would recommend to someone that maybe hasn't done that work that they could start with, or just, you know, to at least hopefully get an idea of where some of those boundaries are? Because that's really what it is setting up your boundaries of what you're willing to operate within.
Absolutely. You know, a very powerful question for me is, you know, what is the worst that could happen? Hmm. All right. And explore the response to that question, whatever it is, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whatever it is. And I think you have to be willing to stretch and take some chances. You really do. Mm-hmm. I think that people, you know, find their way to a comfort zone. They surround themselves with people who will tell them what they want to hear, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to experience a little resistance, and we need to really push ourselves to see what we really have, because I would argue that many of us don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question, because it will definitely shine a light on why you're willing or not willing to do something by starting there.
Yeah.
How has your family and your community contributed to making you uniquely you?
Please don't ask my sister this question if you ever do. Well, as I said, you know, I'm the youngest by 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so I basically grew up as an only child. Yep. Okay. So I was able to create that being, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. Right. And I was able to test some things. Mm-hmm. And some things worked out, you know, others not so much. But I don't think I was ever discouraged from, you know, being curious, as I said. I used those two words, serious. I was serious and I was very curious. You know, there were some things I got pushed back on, but I was always encouraged, you know, to be curious and to really chart my own course. I think one of the best early examples of that was when I was about 11 or 12. We moved. I grew up in Mount Vernon, New York. Yeah. My father worked in White Plains, New York. It was a long commute and all of that. Not, well, when you think about it today, but in those days, it was a long commute. And so when I was about 11 or 12, we moved to White Plains, New York. And it was okay, but it wasn't home, mm-hmm, you know? And at that time, middle school, it's a difficult time to make that kind of a transition. And so, you know, I made friends and we got along fine and whatever, but it wasn't like, you know, the people I'd grown up with. And so when it was time to plan out the last couple of years of high school, I said, you know what, why are we wasting time? I'm not a dreamer. I'm not a person who's ever talked about doing anything. I'm either going to do it or I'm just going to move on. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I ended up doubling up and I ended up graduating from high school a year early. I graduated from high school when I was 16. And, you know, went off to Adelphi University, which was a whopping hour away from home. That's as far away as I could get from home, but right. And I think that I know that that really frightened my parents for so many reasons, right? But yeah, it was the absolute right thing for me. It would not have been good for me to stay back, you know, to remain for another year to take two classes or whatever it was. Yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm sure that was a conversation and you probably had to, I'll say, advocate for yourself. And so I'm curious, that's one thing that, again, we can sometimes struggle with, but has self-advocacy played a role in your journey, whether it be personal or professional?
Every day. Yeah. Yeah. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier about being willing to do the work and kind of knowing, you know, where you stand and what you stand for, because I think you are better prepared to be able to respond to circumstances when they arise.
Yeah.
You know, you have to process and review and evaluate, but you pretty much know, the direction you want to take.
Definitely. It's listening, like you said, listen to that little voice in your head or listening to your gut.
Yeah.
So have you had a Mama, We Made It moment?
Mama, We Made It. So it's interesting. I feel like I've had a number of Mama, We Made It moments, but many of them took place when I was still defining or accepting the definition of success, I'll say, success as defined by others. Mm-hmm. And that means, you know, getting the big job and, you know, working with the Fortune 10 company and, you know, all of those kinds of things. Yep. And so, yes, there were several Mama, We Made It moments have been along the way. And they've morphed over the years. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, you just unlocked the beauty of the question is that we sometimes, the first time you hear it, you think of it in those other people's terms of success. And what I find fascinating is the further we go in our journeys, we realize that that's really not the moment. The moment is truly when it's something that you can stand on and you can look at and be proud of, not only for what those that came before us have done, but also for what it does for those going forward. So you're probably the first person to really unlock that. There's a reason I asked that question and how people tend to respond to it. So I'm going to close out and hopefully have a little bit of fun. When they turned your life story into a movie, who would you want to play you on the big screen?
You know, the person that I think I would like to play me is probably Sanaa Lathan.
Okay.
Yeah. Her demeanor is right. I think there's some believability, you know, in terms of, you know, appearance and things like that. So that would be choice number one, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So
do you have a song that would play in the trailer?
There are two songs that I think I would want to show up in the track somewhere. Mm-hmm. One is Black Butterfly by Denise Williams, mm-hmm. right? When you think of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. And the other one is I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra.
That's a very interesting combination. And yeah. I could see the story being told through both of those. Mm-hmm. That's great. So I'm a huge fan of stories. It's why I do the podcast. I think there's so much we can learn by sitting with someone and listening to their firsthand experience. But for you, if there were three people, they could be with us, they could have passed, but you could sit with them and hear their story firsthand. Who would be your three and why?
My first answer to this question is always my great-grandfather, George Brown, who there's a story about from a newspaper article in the 1920s about how he escaped the Confederate troops during the Civil War to join the North troops. It's a very compelling story. I heard about Grandpa my entire life because he and my dad were very close. He was my father's maternal grandfather, and he lived with their family until his death. And it wasn't until a few years before my father passed away that I saw all this rich, wonderful history about his experience in the Civil War being purchased as a body servant to take bullets for a Confederate soldier and his escape and all of that in his own words. So I would love to have a conversation with him because I see some similarities in his approach to things and my own. I'll just say that.
Wow.
It would be great to have a conversation with someone like Madam C.J. Walker, mm-hmm. who in the midst of just horrendous circumstances mm-hmm. developed something out of absolutely nothing, right? And, you know, when I think about, well, it's still going on with, if you hear about the debates in schools across the country, but when I think about, you know, what we learned about Black history and, mm-hmm. you know, when I was growing up, you know, that, you know, we either picked cotton or cooked, right? And so to see what people were doing, what entrepreneurship looked like,
yeah.
you know, in the midst of those circumstances is profoundly interesting to me. And then the third one, hands down, is Maya Angelou. Mm-hmm. I would love to have had a conversation with Maya Angelou.
That is a very powerful three. I love the first one, starting with your family, because, you know, it's something someone shared with me early in the podcast is that we are the future ancestors. And to think about how do we look back at what those that came before us, what they were able to do, and we stand on their shoulders and we carry it forward. And the fact that you had someone in your family that you actually, they were telling that story is just so powerful. And I think about this is why I do the podcast, because we have to tell our stories so that the people that come after us can know what we were doing and what we were able to achieve to go on and do many great things. And then I couldn't have said it better about Madam C.J. Walker, because you know, we're in this time of entrepreneurship and you know, starting a business, and to know that what she was able to achieve in that time period is just so inspirational. And then lastly, you know, Maya Angelou is one that she literally, where I focus myself around her quote of, people will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And it's something I have on my desk. I look at it every day and think about. So you definitely hit on three that resonate with me and would be amazing stories to hear. So Is there anything I didn't ask that you want to share or anything you want to ask me?
I can't think of anything that I want to ask you. I just would like to say this is something I say to people all the time. And it goes back to, you know, what you said about, you know, coaching and wanting to develop your career and just personal development and growth and things like that. The one thing I want everybody always to remember is that this is not dress rehearsal. Okay. We come this way, but once. And so you really have got to develop that strategy and develop that plan and think about what it is you want. And, you know, you'll get resistance, you'll get pushback, and there'll be no shortage of people to say, oh, you can't, you shouldn't, you know, and all these kinds of things. And the reality is, yes, you can, and you probably should.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I think that we all have to just be willing to do what it takes, whatever that means.
Yeah. I love that. This is not a dress rehearsal, and is it, we don't get to run it back. This is the one you were given, and you got to use it accordingly. Well, before I let you go, if people want to follow along in your journey, they want to, you know, keep up with what you're doing, where should I send them?
Well, I'm on Instagram as Author B. Harrington. If they're interested in contacting me directly, adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com, long but direct, just like it sounds. And then if they want to hear about the book, Access Denied, access-denied.net is the website for the book.
Awesome. Well, I'll include those links. And thank you again for taking the time and sharing a little bit on your story. Very, very inspirational. And hopefully we get a few more people into thinking about going and getting a coach. And again, as you said, this isn't a dress rehearsal. So we got to work on ourselves and ask that question. What's the worst that could happen? So appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
It was great to learn more about Brenda's story. And I felt like she just dropped so many gems in the short amount of time that we spent walking through her journey. But the three that I really stood out to me and I'll take with me is that one, when she was talking about the importance of having a coach and she gave the phrase that we have to be stewards of our own circumstances. That just really stood out to me. And thinking about how you can actually take the wheel and take control versus feeling like your career sometimes is what happens to you. I think we can sometimes expect others to bring us opportunities or to recognize us with more scope or more titles or, you know, more money or things like that. But really understanding that we have to, again, be stewards of our own circumstances. The second thing is she threw in there that, you know, how you get out of your comfort zone is really thinking about asking the question, what's the worst that could happen? I think we can sometimes get so comfortable and not want to take a risk or not want to take a chance. But if we stopped and asked, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen if I decided to make a pivot in my career journey? Or what's the worst that could happen if I tried to go back to school? Or what's the worst that could happen if I went in and, you know, asked for that role that I know I'm prepared for? I think that is just it's a great prompt to really think through how we decide to make decisions and more importantly, take on smart risk. And then lastly, where she ended is that remembering this isn't a dress rehearsal. This isn't, you know, we aren't just going through the motions. And, you know, having that mentality might change how we go about how we act and how we operate and taking advantage of the time that we do have. And I thought that was just a great way to summarize the entire conversation. So hopefully you all are out there and not going through your journey as if it's a dress rehearsal, but it's the real deal. Until next time, I encourage you as always to continue to share your story. It's so important, not only for you, but for others to hear your story. And if you have any feedback or any comments about any of the podcasts, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me at all of the social channels at Matt E. Story, or you can go to my website, www.mattestory.com.